And I begin with this question. Is there anything in your life that you would consider to be expendable? Any possessions? Your job? Your hobbies? Anything that you would consider to be expendable? What do we mean by expendable? Here's a dictionary definition. That which is worth sacrificing to gain an objective. That which is worth sacrificing to gain an objective. So you ask the question, is there anything in my life that's expendable? What we're asking, is there anything in my life that is worth sacrificing? But really, to answer that question, you need to know what the objective is, right? Because again, expendability is that which is, expendable is that which is considered worth sacrificing to gain an objective. Well, I need to know what the objective is before I can tell you what I am willing to sacrifice. Obviously, if the objective is something that's extremely important, then there are some things maybe in my life that I would consider to be expendable. But if the objective to be gained is really meaningless to me, then I'm probably not willing to have anything in my life that's expendable. You know, I know I've shared this before. Again, it's a subject we've talked about. I just want to put it in this context of what we've been studying over the last few Sunday nights. If I'm going to really be a servant of Christ, I need to have I need to be committed to Him. I need to have compassion for others. And I need to be pliable in His hands as the potter and I'm the clay. And tonight I want to look at this idea. I need to be considering myself expendable. I'm really going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And we don't normally think of it this way as such, but whenever we as a nation go to war, this subject has to be considered. The president and others in the military need to decide how many soldiers are expendable to reach the objective. On D-Day, the powers that be had to make a decision. They knew that many soldiers would lose their lives. How many would be too many? How many would be worth the objective? Somebody had to make that decision. And so that's the kind of question we need to ask ourselves. Do I consider myself expendable? Or do I have anything in my life that is expendable? And if it's to stop Hitler, we might say, yeah, my life's expendable. If it's to protect my family, if somebody's attacking my family and I need to protect my family, my life is expendable. If somebody's trying to steal a dime from me, maybe not. What's the objective to be gained? And then we bring that into the spiritual realm. That's the most important question. What in my life, my possessions, my job, my hobbies, what in my life would I consider expendable if the objective is the glory of God and obedience to Him? Would I consider my very life expendable if the objective is the glory of God and obedience to Him? We read earlier from Acts chapter 20, and we read Paul's answer. In verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. Paul says, my life is expendable if the objective to be gained is the proclamation of the grace of God and the gospel of His grace. That's in essence what he's saying to these elders of Ephesus. My life is expendable. I'm willing to sacrifice my very life if the objective to be gained is the proclamation of the gospel of the grace of God. Do I consider myself expendable? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together tonight. I pray that we would look at our own lives as Paul conclude that we would not count our lives dear unto us, But we'd be willing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it means the loss of life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to look at several examples in Scripture. Most of our heroes in Scripture had this attitude of expendability. Let's start with Esther. I don't think we need to turn to it. I think we're familiar enough with this story of Esther. Haman conspired to slaughter the Jews, to kill them all in the Persian Empire. Esther's uncle Mordecai found out about the plot. And so Mordecai comes to Esther, who was the queen, and says, you need to go into the king, and you need to make sure that this slaughter of the Jews is stopped. Of course, Esther's first response was, I can't. For me to go to the king without being called first means I could lose my life. And she said also that it's been 30 days since he's called me. If I just go in without being called, I could lose my life. Well, Mordecai obviously wasn't going to take no for an answer. He pressed her on it. She told Mordecai to get all of the Jews that he knew to fast and pray, and she would get her acquaintances to fast as well, and that she would then go into the king even without being called. And then she makes this statement, I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. That's an attitude of expendability. In order to gain the objective of saving my people, the Jewish people, in order to gain the objective of stopping Haman to slaughter my people, I will go into the king, and I may lose my life, but if I perish, I perish. I'll be expendable in order to gain the objective of saving my people. That's the attitude of expendability. We have the example, of course, of David. Especially in several times in the life of David, we'd see this attitude, but I'm thinking primarily of the story of David and Goliath. David comes to the front lines to meet his brothers and to bring word to them, and even brought some food to his brothers on the front lines. And while he's there, Goliath comes out and he defies the armies of the living God and defies God himself. And David couldn't take that. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the God of Israel? So he decides that he's going to take on this giant. He took on this giant because he considered his life expendable. He considered his life expendable for the glory of God. This giant, Goliath, was defying the God of Israel. And I can't stand to see this uncircumcised Philistine defy the God of Israel. I want God to be glorified. And my life is expendable if the objective is the glory of God. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but here's what Jonathan said of David in 1 Samuel chapter 19. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been toward you very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Jonathan recognized that David considered himself expendable. He put his life on the line to glorify God and to save Israel. David saw his life as expendable. What about Daniel? King Darius passes a law. You could not petition any god but him. And if you did, you would be cast into the lion's den. Daniel looked at the law of Darius, and he looked at the law of God, and he could not obey both. It was going to be one or the other. And obviously, David chose to obey God rather than man. He went to his window, he opened his window, and he prayed three times toward Jerusalem, three times a day, as he had always done. Of course, he got turned in, and he got thrown into the lion's den, and we know the story, how God saved him. But David saw the objective to be gained, obedience to God, as worth his own life. He saw himself as expendable. He was willing to sacrifice his very life simply to obey God. There was nothing else really involved there. It was just, he was going to obey God. Obedience to God was a worthwhile objective, and he was expendable in order to reach that objective, to obey God. We can say the same of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can't we? Again, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, passes a law that you must bow down to my image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decide they're, again, not going to obey man, but they're going to obey God. So they're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace, and once again, they said, you know, God has the power to save us, but if not, be it known unto you, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow down to your image. Again, obedience to God was the objective. And in order to reach that objective, they were expendable. They were willing to sacrifice their very life. Now back here to Acts chapter 20. Let's look at that a little more fully. In verse 24, it says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." There's a couple of words there in the original language, and the construction of this sentence is a little... There's not an exact translation into the English, let's put it that way. A couple of words that are used here. The one word means to calculate, to compute, to reckon. It can be used as a financial term. You know, you get your bank statement, and then you get your records, and you try to reckon the two together. And that's this word, to compute, to reckon, to calculate. And then the word dear, neither count I my life dear unto me. That word dear is a word that simply means that which is of great value, that which is of great worth. Really what Paul is saying here is simply this. In determining the Lord's will, in determining whether I'm going to preach this gospel of the grace of God, and making that determination, I did not consider my life. As I calculated it, as I computed it, I did not consider my life of great value or of great worth compared to proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God. Now, he's not talking here about the sanctity of life. Certainly, we are created in the image of God, and life is precious. He's simply saying, my life is not worth the value compared to preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He calculated it out. He thought it through. He reckoned. He computed. And he said, as I made my calculation, preaching the gospel of the grace of God was worth more than my life. He was expendable to obey God and to proclaim the gospel. We're familiar with Philippians chapter 1, where Paul makes a similar statement. He says, my desire is simply to magnify Christ, either by life or by death. If the objective is to magnify Christ, then I'm willing to sacrifice my life. I'm expendable. Now, in that phrase, whether it be by life or by death, he said, I'm willing to sacrifice my very life when the objective is to magnify Christ. But he's also saying, I'm willing to sacrifice anything in life to magnify Christ. Maybe he won't bring me to death. Maybe he will allow me to continue to live. But as he continues to allow me to live, I need to be willing to sacrifice anything in my life in order to magnify Christ. And so that brings us back to, okay, maybe God won't call upon me to give my very life. But he may call upon me to, for whatever reason, if it means magnifying Christ, I may have to surrender and sacrifice my possessions, my job, my hobbies, what I do with my leisure time. Maybe for some reason I'll have to sacrifice those things. Am I willing to do so? You know, there are some examples in Scripture of those who did not consider their life expendable. I think about Esau. Came in from hunting. He was hungry. In fact, he exaggerated, I think, maybe just a tad bit. I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat. I doubt he was on the verge of starvation. But I need to eat. And so he sacrificed the birthright for a bowl of soup. Now that birthright, as you know, had great spiritual significance. And he was not willing to give up this bowl of soup, not willing to sacrifice this bowl of soup to keep the birthright, which is of great spiritual significance. The birthright wasn't worth it. This bowl of soup was worth more. He did not see that bowl of soup as expendable. He had to have it. And how many times do we look at things in this life and think, I just have to have it. And we're not willing to sacrifice that for that which would be of great spiritual significance. To glorify God, to magnify Him, to serve Him. We have the nation of Israel itself. I'm thinking of Kadesh Barnea. Mentioned earlier how they had crossed the Jordan River. That was 40 years later. 40 years prior to crossing the Jordan River and stepping that foot into that water and seeing the water part, they came to Kadesh Barnea. And they were about to enter into the Promised Land. Moses sends out the 12 spies. The 12 spies come back. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Let's take the Promised Land. God's promised it to us. He's promised to give it. Let's go. The 10 spies said, no way. There's giants in that land. There's no way that we can take that land. Now, as we said earlier, whenever a nation goes to war, somebody has to make some decisions about expendability. How many soldiers are expendable to reach the objective? Joshua and Caleb, and of course Moses, looked at it and said, you know, this is the Promised Land. God's promised it to us. He's promised to give us victory. But they all knew that there would be some who would lose their life in taking that land. But they knew that it was God's will. But the 10 spies turned the nation against Moses, against Joshua, against Caleb. They decided that their lives weren't expendable to reach the objective of the Promised Land. And because of that, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They did not consider their life expendable. And they disobeyed God because of it. Think about the disciples, the night of Christ's crucifixion. Soldiers came to the Garden of Gethsemane. They arrested Christ, hauled him off to the Sanhedrin, and what did the disciples do? They ran. They wanted no part of this. Peter did follow behind, but then when he was confronted, he denied his Lord three times. The disciples, Peter, they did not consider their lives expendable for the cause of Christ. To stay true to Him, their life was not expendable. They denied. Peter denied his Lord. The other disciples ran and hid. Their life was not expendable for the cause of Christ. Now that attitude changed, didn't it? Come to the book of Acts and you see a completely different attitude on the part of the disciples, the apostles. We've been looking at that on Wednesday night in Acts chapter 4, how John and Peter were hauled in before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin threatened them. And their response was, we must obey God rather than man. You can threaten all you want. We are expendable. And they make this statement, we must proclaim that which we have seen and heard. Specifically, the resurrection. They told him not to preach the resurrection. We have to preach the resurrection. We have to proclaim that which we have seen and heard. And our lives are expendable. We're willing to sacrifice our lives in order to proclaim that message. They made it very, very clear. Paul makes another statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, you don't need to turn to it. I'm just showing examples. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul makes this statement to the Corinthians. Some in Corinth were questioning Paul's apostolic authority. Some were even going as far as accusing him of being a false apostle. And so Paul does defend his apostleship. But then he makes this statement to the Corinthians. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent. The word spend there, it's a word that means to spend freely. Paul says, I'm willing to just freely spend. He's not talking financially here. His time, his energy, his effort. He said, I'm willing to freely spend that for you. And then he says, I'm willing not only to spend freely, but to be spent. The spend freely, it's the Greek word deponao. And ekponao is the word to spend or be spent. And it's the idea of to spend completely. So what he's saying is simply, I'm willing to freely spend of my time and efforts and energy. In fact, I am willing to spend it completely for you. To just expend myself completely in your behalf. To give everything I have. Again, in the context, to even give my life. I'm expendable. I will spend freely and I will spend completely. I'll give you everything, including my life. And then he goes on and says, but the more I love you, the less I be loved. So I'm willing to do this even if you don't love me back. We talked a couple weeks ago that it's necessary to have compassion if we're going to be servants of Christ. Do we have that kind of compassion for others? A compassion that says, I will freely give of myself and my efforts and my energy. In fact, I will give myself completely to show my love to you. I am expendable. The objective is your benefit, and I'm expendable to reach that objective. You know, I thought a lot about this in light of, most of you know, I'm involved with Baptist Mid-Missions and on their governing board. You know, 100 years ago, when Baptist Mid-Missions just celebrated their 100th year. 100 years ago, when you made the decision to be a missionary and Baptist Mid-Missions started, the first missionaries went to the heart of Africa. When you made that decision 100 years ago to go to the heart of Africa, the chances were that you would not come home, that you would die. I mean, the chances were very, very high, and many did die in Africa. The diseases and so forth, your chances were very high. that you would not make it home. But they chose to go because they considered their life expendable in order to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the heart of Africa. As the years went on, especially after World War II, people were coming to Baptist Men Missions and surrendering their life to the Lord. They considered their lives expendable. They considered their possessions, their comforts expendable. Even as late as 1979, and that's when I joined with Baptist Men Missions, we had between 50 and 60, I want to say it was 59, but I can't know exactly, I don't remember exactly, but it was between 50 and 60 candidates or appointees in the same class that I was in 1979. Last year, Baptism Admissions had 9 in their candidate class. The year before that, they had 1. What I'm saying is, it seems as though this concept of expendability is lacking in Christian circles today. Over the last 100 years, it's declined. In the last 42 years, it's declined drastically. And that's not really that our life is expendable. Very few places do missionaries go today where their life is really on the line, like it was 100 years ago. Because of technology and everything else, that's just not the case anymore. Today, people don't consider their possessions and their comforts as expendable, let alone their life. 42 years ago, it was the norm that young adults would graduate from college and they would join the mission, and they would go as missionaries. Most of the ones in my candidate class were just fresh out of college. That virtually never happens today. I'm involved with interviewing candidates as they come. Almost never, very, very few exceptions, almost never do we have someone just coming right out of college going to the mission field. The average age now is somewhere in the 30s. Why? Well, young adults today don't want to sacrifice their comforts and the pleasures and the joys that they have in this country. They don't want to go overseas and sacrifice the nice paying job that they have here. Do we consider our lives expendable? Do we consider our possessions, our jobs, our hobbies expendable when the objective is the glory of God and obedience to Him? If we're going to be true servants of Jesus Christ, we need to understand this concept of expendability and reckon ourselves as Paul did. Be expendable, and our life really isn't of greater value than proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring glory to Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for your grace and the gospel of your grace. And Father, perhaps you've not asked us to go across the seas. Perhaps you're just asking us to go across the street, across the room, to engage in conversation with someone who does not know Christ as their Savior and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we, as Paul, calculate that our life is not worth more than your glory or obedience to you. Our possessions,
our jobs, our hobbies are not worth more than your glory and obedience to you. May we consider those things in our very lives as expendable. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we are grateful for our time together tonight and thankful for your word and the many examples, even as we have looked at them tonight, of some who had this attitude of expendability and some who did not. May we follow the former. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.